Welcome back to the Deep Dive. This is where we take source material, really get into it, and pull out the key knowledge, the facts you need. We aim to make you well-informed, fast. Today, we've got something really focused. It's just an excerpt, a title, really, from a document. Detroit Buyer Experience After Settlement. Sounds simple, but wow, it packs a punch. It signals a major shift in a really critical market. Okay, let's unpack this.
Yeah, and it's crucial to see how much is packed into just that one line. It's basically the whole story, or at least the starting point for understanding the Detroit market now, especially if you're a buyer. The core fact, the big takeaway we're exploring is right there. Post-settlement rules reshape buyer experiences in Detroit. That's the headline.
Reshape. That's the word that jumps out at me. It's not adjust or tweak. Reshape sounds fundamental. Like the whole blueprint for buying property there has been redrawn, probably because it had to be.
Exactly. It implies a significant architectural change, you know, not just painting the walls, but moving them. And it's driven by post-settlement rules, which means it's mandated, likely legally.
So for you, the listener, the immediate flag here is whatever you thought you knew about buying Detroit, maybe from a few years ago, it might be, well, outdated.
Completely outdated, potentially. You're stepping into a new environment. That statement is your alert signal.
What's fascinating here is just the scope of it. Post-settlement rules. That sounds big. It suggests something serious happened that required a formal resolution, a settlement.
Right. Settlements don't just happen. They happen because there was a significant problem, a dispute, or maybe a breakdown in how things were working before.
So we kind of have to ask why, right? Mm-hmm. Why did Detroit need a settlement related to the buyer experience? What was going wrong?
Precisely. A settlement points backwards to conflict or failure. Given Detroit's history, the economic shifts, the recovery efforts, you can imagine scenarios where the processes, maybe they got too fast, too loose.
Or maybe inconsistent.
Or inconsistent, exactly. Maybe relying too much on local custom, not enough on standardized protections that you might find elsewhere.
Like buyers getting rushed through inspections or not getting clear information about property conditions or risks.
Those are very plausible scenarios. Think about opaque transactions, maybe minimal disclosure requirements, things that could leave a buyer exposed down the line.
Mm.
The settlement is the formal response to those kinds of risks. It's meant to fix what was broken.
Okay, so these rules aren't just suggestions. They're corrective measures. They're designed to build trust back into the system, maybe by adding friction. Necessary friction.
That's a great way to put it. Necessary friction. It sounds like a move away from maybe a Wild West scenario, speed over safety, towards something more structured, standardized, like putting up guardrails.
So this reshaping,
yeah.
What does it actually look like for someone buying a house in Detroit today? If the old way was maybe too fast, too opaque, what are the concrete changes from these post-settlement rules?
Well, you'd expect changes in probably two main areas, documents and deadlines. Yeah. Standardization and timeline elongation.
Okay, standardization, meaning?
Meaning everyone uses the same forms, gets the same baseline information. So imagine the settlement mandates a specific, maybe quite detailed, risk disclosure form, let's call it a hypothetical M Form 44.
Right.
Before, maybe agents used various local forms. Now everyone uses the M Form 44. It's non-negotiable. Lots more paperwork, sure, but it aims for consistency.
Which for an agent or lender means more compliance work, more hoops to jump through.
Definitely.
But for the buyer, especially maybe a first-time buyer, that M Form 44, even if it's long, it's a shield, right? It ensures they see the potential risks laid out clearly.
That's the intention. And the second piece, the timeline, that's also huge.
How so?
If the old market thrived on, say, super fast 15-day closings where buyers felt pressured to waive inspections just to compete.
Yeah, that happens.
The new rules might say, nope, there's now a mandatory non-waivable 10-day inspection period. Or maybe the total minimum transaction time is pushed out to, say, 45 days.
Wow. Okay. 45 days minimum. That fundamentally changes the pace of everything.
It changes the whole rhythm. It forces deliberation.
But does that create other problems? I mean, slowing things down protects buyers, yes, but could it also slow down the market recovery or make it harder for investors who need to move quickly?
That's the classic trade-off, isn't it? You're swapping speed for security. The settlement clearly signals that the priority now is the buyer's protection, the integrity of their decision, over the velocity of the market.
So less speculation, perhaps?
Potentially. And to really reinforce that protection, the rules might even mandate other steps. Maybe things like required counseling sessions for certain buyers.
Counseling? Like financial counseling?
Could be. Or maybe sessions explaining the process, the risks. especially for first-time buyers or those using specific assistance programs. Imagine a requirement to meet with a neutral third-party advisor.
Okay, so that adds another layer of time and probably cost.
It does. But again, the goal is ensuring the buyer gets advice that's independent from the seller or the agents involved in the deal itself. It's all part of this new architecture. Deliberate, mandatory review instead of rushed decisions.
That paints a really different picture of buying in Detroit. It's gone from potentially high pressure, high speed to structured, maybe even a bit bureaucratic, but focused on safety.
The buyer's role shifts. It's not just finding the house. It's navigating this required paced process designed to prevent past issues.
Right. So we see the why, fixing past problems, and the how, mandatory forms, longer timelines, maybe counseling. What about the ripple effects? If the buyer experience is reshaped, everyone else must adapt too, right? Lenders, agents, sellers.
Absolutely. The entire ecosystem has to adjust. For lenders, it means more paperwork, stricter due diligence, maybe longer processing times, which impacts their costs.
And agents.
For agents, the game changes. It's less about purely closing the deal quickly and more about meticulous compliance. Mm-hmm. Ensuring every form is right, every deadline is met. It demands a different skill set, perhaps.
So there's like a cost of doing business now that's tied directly to these new rules, a compliance cost.
You could call it a compliance premium, yeah. Transacting might cost a little more, take a little longer. But the intended payoff is greater trust, more reliability in the market overall. That, in theory, should attract more stable, long-term buyers and investment.
Who really wins here? It sounds like the primary beneficiary is the buyer who might have been at a disadvantage before the first timer, maybe someone with fewer resources or less market knowledge.
I think that's fair to say. The settlement seems designed to level the playing field, shifting risk away from the potentially more vulnerable buyer and making sure the professionals involved slow down and cover all the bases. It's about equity and recalibrating risk.
Does this make Detroit unique compared to nearby areas? If I'm an investor looking purely for speed and minimal hassle, maybe I look elsewhere now.
That's a really interesting consequence. Yes, Detroit now operates under its own distinct rulebook. So an investor prioritizing speed above all else might indeed look at adjacent counties without these specific settlement rules.
So the reshaping creates a specific market identity for Detroit. It might lose the fast flip crowd,
but potentially gain buyers who value that security and structure, even if it means a slower process. The market profile shifts towards stability and consumer protection.
The big takeaway then isn't just rules changed. It's that the old way of doing things was found so lacking, so potentially harmful, that this major externally forced correction was necessary.
Exactly. If you're entering the Detroit market now as a buyer, seller, agent, lender,
yeah,
you have to operate as if the pre-settlement market just doesn't exist anymore. That rule book is gone.
So for you, the listener, that single sentence, post-settlement rules reshape buyer experiences in Detroit, is a map. It tells you where the dangers used to be.
Right. Look for what changed. The mandatory waiting periods, the new forms, any required third-party involvement. Those are the specific repairs made to fix the specific historical weaknesses. That's where your focus needs to be.
If we connect this to the bigger picture,
the settlement itself confirms a major turning point, a moment where the market shifted by force from maybe informal momentum to structured regulation focused on protecting the buyer. That settlement date is critical history.
It really underlines that the old assumptions are out. Speed isn't the measure of success anymore. Compliance and safety are. So what does this all mean?
It means fundamentally that anyone involved in Detroit real estate needs a re-education. Forget the old stories, the anecdotal stuff. Focus entirely on the current mandated process. For professionals, ignoring these rules isn't just sloppy, it's a major risk. These aren't suggestions, they're the law of the land now.
That's very clear. The fact that this reshaping was needed says a lot about what came before. Okay, so here's a final thought for you to consider. If the Detroit buyer experience needed such a thorough reshaping, what underlying beliefs about the buying process itself were shattered? Think about this. Maybe before, buyers thought a fast deal was a good deal. Now, with mandatory delays, maybe 45 days minimum, what new skill is essential for a Detroit buyer? It's probably not speed anymore. Could it be the skill of navigating complexity, managing documents, and maybe most importantly, developing the patience to trust this new, deliberately slower process?